Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4.
Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
At our memory verse today, we're looking at Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4, and the Borlands are going to help us with this little memory verse with a wee video. Brian is an optician, so really what opticians do is they help people focus with glasses. I think that's what glasses do, but we're going to go over to the Borlands now for a little video on how we can focus on Jesus by this memory verse.
You look really good. Is it comfortable?
Yes.
That's good. So Rory, in this part of your eye test, we're going to check your focusing. We're going to see how you focus on things. So, can you read my eye testing chart?
Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2.
So we're going to check your focus now with just one eye. So I'll cover your left eye, and then can you read it with your right eye to check focus of your right eye?
Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2.
Excellent, Rory. So I've got some lenses, and I'm going to see if I can make your focus even better. So how's that now? Can you still focus?
No.
No? Oh no.
Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2.
Let me try a different one.
It's a bit.
How about this one? Can you focus now?
Yes.
That's good. So last time, do you think you can read it one more time?
Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2.
Excellent, Rory. Your focus is really good. And actually, you don't need glasses.
Wonderful. We're about to go into the sermon, but let me just pray before we get stuck in Colossians 3. Father, thank you that we can focus on you. Thank you that we can do that through Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what Colossians tells us about you and who you are and what you're like. Pray you be with us now. Help us to focus on you. Pray you give us attentive ears and open hearts to hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service. Thank you that we're able to do this service today. Amen. Well, you've probably heard it about 100 times so far in our service. We are thinking about focusing. And there are many ways that you can focus. And you need to focus in things like virtual school and working from home. We all need to focus. And we often focus with our eyes by looking at something, with our ears by listening really carefully. And sometimes even it can help us focus by maybe not doing something with our hands, maybe sitting on them, keeping them out of the way so that we can concentrate and not be distracted and fidgeting. Well, actually today in our passage in Colossians, Paul tells us that there's another way that can help us focus, and that's with our hearts, our emotions, how we feel about things, and also with our minds. And as we've studied the book of Colossians as a church, we've been learning that people have come in from outside of the church and have begun to teach things and encourage things that has caused the Christians in modern day Turkey, Colossae, it's caused them to lose their focus on Jesus. They're being distracted, they've lost their focus. I don't know about you, but over the last 11 weeks, however long it's been that we've been in lockdown, I found it so easy to lose focus and to be distracted. There's so many things to distract us and cause us to lose focus. My housemate recently bought Disney Plus. Nice one, Swanee. That's a good distraction for me. There are other things that we can do that can distract us. There's other people in our houses, brothers, sisters. There's exercise that we can go and do or join Joe Wicks in the morning. Maybe even things that can distract us are our own thoughts, whether that's positive or negative. There are lots of things that can cause us to lose focus on the things we should be doing in day-to-day life. Today, as we look at the book of Colossians, we send out earlier on in the week spiritual specs. I've got mine here. They're very dashing, very fashionable. You're going to need these spiritual specs because they're going to help you focus in the sermon later on at a very specific point. So make sure you have glasses, little ones, make sure you have your spiritual specs for adults, of course. But these are going to help you focus on Jesus. Maybe you could all say that with me at home. Focus on Jesus. I have no idea if you did it, but good job if you did. Focus on Jesus. And we're going to do that in three ways. We're going to look at Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Everything that we learn today is going to be from this passage. And the first thing that we're going to learn is in verses 1 and 3. And that is, the first point is, God is real. That's something you can focus on. God is real.
Today, there are loads of people who don't think God is real. How can we be sure?
Ooh, good question, Jill. Good question. There are obviously many people who don't believe that God is real. And that might be because of the state of the world at the moment, with everything that's going on in America, with the coronavirus. They don't believe God is real for many reasons. And if that is you and you're listening in today, you're so welcome. We're glad that you're streaming wherever you are in the world. As Christians, we believe that we can know that God is real, first and foremost, by the real world that he has created. The real world points us to the real creator, the real God, who made it. We can know that God is real because we look at the real creation. So for me, I can focus on God as I go for my very slow runs, as I look at creation around me. It reminds me that God in heaven, my good Father, gives good gifts to us on earth. We can know that God is real because of the real world that he has made.
But Dave, our world is in a bit of a mess at the moment. Is there any other way we can know that God is real other than creation?
Yeah, that is really true, because whilst we have a real world, you just alluded to it there, there's real problems in the world. There's all sorts of things that's going wrong. And we believe as Christians that the reason why there are these real problems is because mankind, all of us, have turned away from God. We have rejected him. And that's why there are real problems in the world. But fortunately, God has given us a real solution. And the real solution is that he's spoken to us. He's used real words to speak to us in our Bibles. That's how we can know that God is real, because the God from up in heaven has spoken to us, so we can have a real relationship with the powerful God who made everything. We can also know that he's loving and kind because the God of heaven spoke to us in our Bibles. We can have a real relationship with him.
Hold on. God is speaking to us from heaven. So how does he know what life down here looks like? How does he know what life here on earth is like? Because it's all going so wrong down here.
Yeah, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? If God was just up in heaven, totally detached, and didn't care about anything that was going on in the world. Well, if you look again at your Bibles, look at Colossians 3. Look specifically at verses 1 and verse 3 and verse 4. Paul mentions three times Christ or Jesus. Jesus is the real solution to the real world problems. He is the way we know that God has not left the world on its own. Jesus came so we could deal with all those bad things that go on in our world. If you are worried and despairing about the world, focus on Jesus, the real God who came to deal with the real problems. Last week in the church calendar, it was Pentecost, which was a day when the good news about Jesus went out to all corners of the earth. Everyone is to know about God's great solution to the real world's problems. And actually, for over 1,000 years, people have been coming to Jesus with their real problem, the real problem of sin, and they're having their lives transformed. If you haven't encountered Jesus, if you haven't focused on him and read about him, can I encourage you to look at Jesus, to focus on him? Because the real God has a real solution to your real problems, and he cares. So can I encourage you to look at this real God in the Bible? Now, the good news is that because Jesus is real, and he came to our deal with the real problems, it leads us to our second point. If we trust and follow Jesus, look down at verse 3, it means that we are safe in Jesus. That's our second point. We are safe in Jesus. That's the second thing we can focus on. So for this point, you're definitely going to need your spiritual specs on. These even fit my big head, which is really nice. So we can focus on Jesus because we are safe in him. Let me read verse 3 to you. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let me read it again. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, the reason why we need our spiritual specs on is because we haven't actually physically died. Joe, we are still here, aren't we? We are physically alive.
I'm still here! I'm alive!
Yeah, great news. But whenever we read this, we need to have our spiritual lenses on, our spiritual specs, to look at this. For you died. I'm going to take them off just because they look a wee bit silly. For you died. What Paul says there is a spiritual reality. Whenever you come to Jesus with your real world problems, with sin, and you come to him and you ask for his forgiveness, the old part of you dies. It no longer exists. The part that turned away from God, that rejected him and said, I don't want anything to do with you, God, that bit of you dies. It no longer exists. So as Christians, we are so prone to go back into our past, into our deadness, and try to dig up what is buried. Focus on the fact that what is past is dead. It's forgiven in Jesus. And Paul then says, because of that reality, because a part of you has died, you, let me read it to you, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that amazing?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That is like the strangest sentence I have ever heard. What on earth does that mean?
Yeah, it is very strange, isn't it, to be hidden in Jesus? What on earth does that mean? Well, perhaps let me use a little illustration that we're all going through at the moment. So over the past 11 weeks, however long it's been, time's just sort of like merged into one at the moment. But we've gone into our homes, we've hidden in our homes because there's something to fear, and that is the coronavirus. The reason why we hide is, one, there's something to fear, and two, there's a safe place to hide. So we're afraid of the virus, the effects it could have on our health and our loved ones' health. And the recommendation is to stay at home, because that is where you'll be safe and you can protect other people. So what does that have to do with Jesus then? Well, with Jesus, we come with our great fear. We believe that, every person's great fear is the fear of death. And we come to Jesus recognizing that only he can save and protect us from death. We come to him and we are hidden in him. We're united in him, in Christ. We're hidden in him. We're protected. We are safe. But maybe to think about it in another way, Joe, could you hide behind this pulpit here? Glory. So, Joe Daly is now hidden in Christ. She's still alive. I think she's still alive. She's still alive. She's alive. And you can't see her. She is hidden. She's hidden behind the cross. But friends, what is so beautiful and amazing about being hidden is that one day it will be revealed. It will be revealed that Joe Daly, Dave Lawler, Say your name out loud. It will be revealed one day that you're in Christ. That when he returns, you are in him. You've loved him. You've followed him. You've served him. One day all will see Jesus. That is something to focus on, friends. You're hidden in him, but one day all will see. All mocking, all laughing, all sneering at what we believe will be gone, because it will be revealed. That is a wonderful truth that the world cannot take away from us. The fact that our future is safe, that is so helpful for us now. Let me help us think through what that looks like in just day-to-day life. Christians everywhere basically walk around with a giant cross in front of them because they're hidden in Christ. Obviously, my quarantine body is not quite hidden behind this wooden cross. But the reality is, because our biggest fear, the fear of death, is taken care of, all our little fears are dealt with by the cross. Whenever we fear and worry about people accepting us and not rejecting us, you're to remind yourself that you're hidden in Christ. That if the world rejects you, you have been accepted and loved by the most important person in the world. The person who made it all. This is a wonderful truth, that your future is safe. And it means that we can be certain that all of our fears we are safe from.
Does it mean we're safe from everything?
Oh, good question, Joey. Very good question today, isn't it? Well, let me use another little visual aid. I was going to use rope, but apparently flour and toilet paper and rope are the things that the shops are lacking. So let me use our faithful garden hose. So here's the hose. See this little plastic bit here? This is our life here on earth. The rest of the hose, if it went on forever and ever and ever, that is eternity. Everything past here is safe. It's secure. Actually, the worst thing that can happen to us right here brings us quicker to eternity. Friends, no virus, no redundancy, no exam result, no nothing can jeopardize what is to come in Jesus. The fact that our future is secure and safe gives us hope for today. Since our future is safe, that's something to focus on because it will affect your life today.
So focusing on Jesus now will help us in the future.
Yeah, exactly, Drew. And that leads us to our third and final point. Let me read verse 4 to you, which says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Our third and our final point is that the future is better than anything you can possibly imagine. The future is better than anything you can possibly imagine. And I know Joe just asked, how does the future affect now? And I've just referred again, the future is better than anything we can possibly imagine. I know that's maybe quite unhelpful. But think about this. If you knew with absolute certainty that on the 30th of August, the coronavirus would be done, no more, it would be over, normality would resume, we'd be able to gather together as God's people again. If you knew that with absolute certainty, it would affect the here and now. It would make you more patient. It would help you wait with expectation, looking forward to that day with great joy, because you know with certainty on that day we will be free. Friends, that is a small little picture of the gospel. Our future is secure. Focusing on the reality of Jesus now helps us live our lives now. It changes our life right here, right now, because we're focusing on something much, much better to come. We're about to watch a little video of some of our little ones from church as they struggle, as they focus on something better, some future glory that is coming for them. We're going to watch that and see as they set their hearts and their minds on the better thing that is to come. I hope you enjoy it. It's brilliant.
I'm going to put chocolate in this bowl, and you need to wait until I come back in the room. And if you wait, I'll give you something even better, okay? So I'm going to give you one.
When I come back, if you don't eat it, there'll be something even better.
Even better than chocolate.
Don't eat it till I come back, all right?
All right.
I'll be back in a minute.
Don't eat it. If you don't eat it, it might be a special thing for you.
Don't eat the chocolate till I come back, okay?
Suck it up. Yes, that's not eating, is it, if we suck it up like that?
Can I eat it?
Oh no.
Let's go.
There's lots of sack over there.
Who sucked it up?
No! Don't do that, because I don't get that tweet. They might go out in the back garden. You look in the front garden, I look in the back garden. I'll tell if I see them.
Yeah. Oh, was it really
difficult?
Yeah. Don't eat it. Did you manage not to touch it?
No.
Did you wait? Really good girl, Mabel. Mabel, you can have more. You can have something even better. You can have one, two, three more chocolates. Well done, good waiting.
Did you eat it?
No.
No.
How many have you got left?
One, two, three, four.
I got one, two, three, four.
Four as well.
Well, there's something. You've got chocolate on your nose. What were you doing?
No.
That's the something even better.
Have we been good?
Did you eat them?
No.
Look what you get now. Well done.
I love how I accidentally called one of the pastors of our church a little one. Brilliant. But as you watch that video, I'm sure you've noticed the internal struggle, the heart and the mind, as our children and our pastor struggle with the idea that I really want what's here right now, but I also have to trust the promise that something better, something glorious awaits me. You can see them as they struggle, as they put their foot into their mouth to try to control the fact that there's something better coming if I just wait. Friends, every day we have an opportunity to put on our spiritual specs, to set our minds on Christ exalted and ruling in heaven. Friends, as you focus on heaven, you will be of eternal earthly good. Friends, as you think about at this moment when everything seems to be going wrong, fix your mind on the certain reality that Christ at the right hand of God will one day make all things new. Whenever your heart breaks with loneliness, you want that physical touch from that loved one, focus on the fact that you are going to be embraced by Jesus when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to you. The future is brighter than anything you can possibly imagine. Whenever you're scared to speak of the Lord Jesus, think of eternity. Think of all that hose pipe still to come. How could it not be worth risking now when eternity is in mind? Friends, whenever we remember and focus on the fact that God is real, that we are safe in Christ, and the future is so much brighter than anything we could possibly imagine. Friends, you will send ripples into eternity as you live a glorious life for the Lord Jesus. And friends, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't believe God is real, if you're not sure, if you're not safe in Christ, may I urge you to look into these things. They are of eternal importance. Jesus changes your life now and for eternity. That is not something that can be ignored. Focus on heaven and life will be transformed now. There is a gospel promise that that is true. For 2,000 years, people have had their lives changed by Jesus. We invite you to come to focus on our God and have your real life problems transformed as you come to know the real God who created everything. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and kindness to us. Lord, thank you that we can think of these things as a church family. Lord, thank you that our future is certain, that cannot be moved because of what Christ has done for us. Thank you that the old part of us has died and no longer exists. Lord, pray you'd help us stop digging up what is buried. Lord, we pray now, as we close our service, may we sing in response to what you've done for us. Pray these things in your name. Amen.